Good morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, I see the perky's moved. I see faces and I expect people in certain places. And if you move, it's like, they're not here. And I'm so glad to see you because I'm not going to see you next Sunday. I think you all got the note. Jim Schumacher, Reverend Doctor, is going to be preaching for us and leading worship, so we're excited about that. And I will see you after I return from the great green north, going deep into the woods of Michigan. That does mean that if there is a super emergency, I can get back, okay? But please don't. Please be safe, okay? I don't know that there are any other announcements at this point. Therefore, I would invite Tim to come forward and bring us into a time of worship.
Will you please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship? How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing. With joy, let us worship the one who has given us life. Please join me in the confession of who we are. Forgive us, Lord, for we know our guilt. Our sin is before us. In our hearts, seeds of discord grow. Fear, covetousness, anger. We exercise power and speak without humility. Knowledge without wisdom. Merciful God, teach us obedience and faith. Help us see your hand at work in the world, guiding us to wholeness, tending to us in love. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven.
This is going to have to come off. The print in the Bible is just a little small to see through that. We're staying with Matthew today. And while we are still in chapter 15, we're going to read from late in that chapter. It's a story that's a little disconcerting. So listen now for God's word to God's people. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David! My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen. So, have you seen, this is a raise your hands time, have you seen the latest Lemu and Doug commercial on TV? Yeah, oh, Mindy's seen it. I thought it was later in the service. Then I have the wrong bulletin. Yes, you may sing. Please do. God bless you. We'll hear about Doug and Lemu later.
Thank you.
am glad we heard that. We needed it after that story. We need it anytime. Thank you, Mindy. Thank you, Kathy. So, back to Lemu and Doug. You've seen those commercials, right? The latest one is really cute, I think. The two of them are on a beach. It's pretty obvious. You see the sand, and I think there's water in the background, right? Well, Doug is trying to teach Lemu the basics of playing beach volleyball. Yeah. He's actually telling him how to set up the ball like an emu can do that without wings. I mean, you know. And he's also drawing a smiley face in the sand. You know, what's up with that? But Lemu has done the stereotypical ostrich thing, even though he is an emu. He puts his head in the sand. Is that because he's not into volleyball? Maybe he just isn't interested in hearing about insurance? It's hard to tell. He's a bird. Haven't we all felt like doing the ostrich thing from time to time? For instance, I suspect most of us would rather have put our heads in the sand than hear what Matthew had to say today. We don't want to listen to such a disquieting tale. And can you imagine the confusion he must have created for those who were first hearing the good news of Jesus Christ? For the man, these newcomers had yet to hear the part about Jesus' death and resurrection to life eternal with God. So the story is way disturbing. Matthew's telling them a less than flattering story about a man that he wants them to believe in is Lord of all. Now, writing such a negative story about a supposed hero would be embarrassing, absolutely, and scandalous, oh yeah. But remember, Jesus had just made sure that more than 5,000 people were fed with just 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. And that was quite a miracle. Something you'd think was outrageous was outrageously good. And now Jesus is turning his back on this woman who comes to him for help. That is such a turnaround. Jesus' bread and fish's miracle was in keeping with the stories that had come earlier in Matthew's book. But this is a story now that is way out of line with the man that these newcomers to the faith had begun to trust. Now, of course, this woman was not a Hebrew. She lived on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, over near Tyre, and she was one of them. You know, she was a Canaanite. And since Abraham had turned Hagar and Ishmael out, Hebrews had looked down their noses at the Canaanites, which in itself is a rather interesting mindset, given how the Hebrew people were the lowest of low amongst those that Rome had conquered. So Jesus wants nothing to do with this woman. She's ritually unclean. So he ignores her, begins to move on. But her daughter is being tormented by a terrible demon. So she follows him, squawking all the way like a pesky, yappy little terrier that bites at your ankles until you hand over the treat. Now, I do say that with the love of schnauzers, for they were our family's pets, and they are great dogs, these terriers. But yeah, they are tenacious. The disciples then try to shoo the woman away, but she persists. Now, here's where we may want to put our heads into the sand. You know, this gal is just too much. She's too noisy, and she reminds us of our forebears, the women who believed they were fully formed human beings who, yeah, deserved to vote. Women who pestered the men of the world to listen to them until the men gave up here in this country and passed the 19th Amendment 100 years ago. Oh, those men must have been so upset. They knew they were no longer the only ones in the family's driver's seat. Well, after a few minutes of this woman's diatribe, Jesus finally acknowledges her presence, telling her, "I'm only here for the Israelites." And that's when she reached for the moon. In those days, as a way of winning honor in the world, men engaged in verbal sparring with one another. It wasn't a ladylike behavior. But this woman, she was begging help for her child. She didn't care what the world thought. She was going to use whatever method she could for her daughter's sake. So she kneels before him to show him that she knows he's powerful and says, "Lord, help me." And that's when Jesus really puts her down. He calls her a dog, probably a female dog. Now, these days, people buy all kinds of designer food and clothing for our pets, especially dogs. We love them. Some women even carry their little chihuahuas in those cute tote bags. But that's here and now. And dogs over in the Middle East are still not very loved. I saw far more cats in Bethlehem than I did dogs. And the few dogs that were around, well, they were pretty scrawny scavengers. Seeing them made me very sad. And what's sadder was that the dogs were still considered to be vermin, vicious pests, who, back in Jesus' day, you know, were even lower. And he called her a dog. Name calling is a nasty way of speaking to or about someone that obviously goes way, way back. Folks today are not the only ones to behave so callously towards people they want to belittle. Even so, this woman's belief remained strong. She was asking him for something vitally important, for someone who was suffering and who meant a great deal to her. And she believed that this man Jesus could make a difference in her daughter's life. In her life, she believed that as son of David, he was a powerful ruler who could heal her child. Like the 20th century suffragettes, she did not back down. And her great faith made a difference to Jesus. Now, friends, I know I am probably preaching to the choir here, but you know, over the last several years, emotions have ratcheted up in people everywhere. And over the last 6 months, well, it's become pretty unbearable. We've been horrified to watch as over 167,000 people have died in this country from the pandemic. We've watched the economy go down the tubes with this pandemic, and people on both sides of the Black Lives Matter protests have acted out their frustrations. Common courtesy is disappearing as people of all ages argue over whether or not to wear a mask in public. And thoughtless, ugly words have spilled out of the mouths of people we never dreamed could be so crude. Just a few verses earlier in this chapter of Matthew's, Jesus made an important point with Peter. You may have read it. I think it was in the pre-read section on last week's bulletin. Jesus said this: what goes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and that is what contaminates a person in God's sight. So by convincing Jesus that someone other than a member of the Hebrew tribe was also created in God's image and so worthy of God's mercy, this tenacious woman had reminded her Lord of his words to Peter. The love in her words was finally heard. His lesson was learned. His heart reformed into the compassionate vessel it was meant to be. Yes, Jesus was fully human. And yet, as the nameless woman believed him to be, he was also fully God. You see, sometimes we humans can have an effect on God. Remember how the people of Nineveh changed their ways after Jonah called them out and told them that God had decided to destroy them unless they did change their ways? And remember how God didn't destroy them when they made it so? I tend to think that that is because God listens to our voices and our hearts. And occasionally, what God hears from us does reform God's heart. Occasionally. So when Jesus listened for this woman's heart, he recognized he needed to quiet the pain in her soul. The demon who possessed her daughter was banished instantly. My friends, demons or bad spirits or anger or vitriol are flying around everywhere these days. Nasty words are erupting from hearts here, there, all over. They come from hearts that are filled with pain and fear and anxiety. Sometimes the words come from those who have been in charge of the world for a long, long time and cling to their control because they know not how else the world could be or how they could be in such a world. Other times things are said or shouted from the rooftops because people can no longer live as less than fully formed and fully valued human beings. Over the years, we have been so worn down by the repetition of other people's words that we often dismiss them, along with the person who spoke them. Life would be so much easier if we were ostriches, maybe even emus, and bury our heads down in the sand until the worst was past. I so wish that people could hear beyond angry words that spill from mouths to the truth that lies deep beneath the surface of another person's life. I so wish that everyone would listen, truly listen, to the needs of others instead of allowing their voices to lap over our ears while we just quickly think up words with which to react. Listening to someone's heart, when that heart is all tied up in pain-filled emotions, is challenging at best. I know this. Nasty words can hook us, and soon we find we are dismissing the speaker or spewing equally horrible things. Jesus listened. Jesus listened. He allowed the woman's grief-stricken words to sink into his heart. He absorbed her pain, and then instead of reacting to her as strongly and loudly as she may well have been speaking, he saw her truth, her love, her hope. And he responded with compassion. May we do likewise when faced with volatile conversations, when we hear things on the news. But may we go one step further. We have today learned from this story as Jesus learned from the woman. So may we teach this lesson so others might also learn to listen to one another, to one another's hearts. For in so doing, we will help Christ heal this beautiful, broken world and the people who live on it. May it be so. God bless you. Amen. Would you please rise as you are able? It's not marked, but let's rise and repeat what we do believe. Let us say the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, was buried, he descended into hell, rose again from the dead, he sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. See, there's a thanksgiving for the goodness of our Lord.
Christ has provided for us from his own table of blessings. His abundance overflows. In turn, we have offered our gifts from the bounty God has given us. Let us dedicate them with prayer. Gracious Lord, you have given us more mercy than we can imagine and more blessings than we deserve. Receive now these gifts as tokens of your gratitude to you, of our gratitude to you, that your mercy may be multiplied and your blessings abound to embrace all those in need. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, this is a glorious summer's day. We enjoy the green of the trees and the grass. We received with thanks the little bit of rain that you sent to keep things moist. We sigh as we see the colors begin to turn on those green trees. We are amazed by the song of new birds that we have not heard before. Seeing little yellow goldfinches brightens our day. We thank you for these gifts. And we thank you for the gift of family and friends, houses that shelter us, and food that nourishes us. Oh Lord, we are your children. And we love you and we need you, and yet at times you feel far away, and we feel abandoned or ignored. At times, it is so much easier to notice anger and resentment and despair. At times, the world seems to be getting more and more cruel. And at times, we forget the power of love. With the life-giving breath of the Spirit, though, you remind us about grace, forgiveness, and mercy. You remind us that there will always be those that aim to hurt others, and you demand that we stand for and with the persecuted, the sick, the widowed, the poor, the imprisoned, the orphan, and the needy. You show us our own ability to be the light in the dark. You empower your people to speak in love against the oppressors, and notice when we ourselves become the oppressor. We need your guidance, Lord. We need you to raise our voices to shout out the message that every single one of your creation is loved. Help us love. Help us forgive as we work to follow your path of grace. And now, Lord, we ask. We beg as your beloved children that you hear our prayers for those who live in this world. Lift up the leaders of this world who often actually take the brunt of nasty, hateful words. Give them strength and courage for facing these days, and enable them to hear the emotion behind the words of angry speakers so they might find ways to heal the hurts of this place. We pray for the people of Iowa who suffered the howling wind and rains of the derecho earlier this week. Send caregivers to them so they need not face the emptiness alone, and who will help them rebuild their lives day by day. Let them know you are with them, and do likewise for those who live in the paths of wilderness firestorms out west. Lord, this is only the beginning of the dry season, and we ask that you spare lives and homes from such terrors. Lord, children and teachers are returning to schools this week. There they will face their fears of illness behind masks. Give the teachers great patience as they guide the little ones into a new way of being together. Let the children feel safe and cared for, even when hugs cannot be given. Open their minds to new lessons, be they in person or on Zoom. And let teachers and administrators and students all find joy in learning, regardless of how different this temporary situation may feel. Lord, we pray for Arlene Crooks, who suffered a fall and is in medical care right now. We pray for Dwayne Bunker, who may be having surgery very soon to repair the scar tissue around his larynx so that he can speak again. We pray for Nancy Thompson, who's returned home and is recovering from her stroke still. We pray for those who are separated from loved ones for any reason or who are facing separation in the near future. Heal these people's bodies where needed. Heal their hearts and give them courage to face whatever comes in the future. And hear us now as we pray together aloud using the words that Jesus himself taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us. Forgive our debtors, temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kingdom, and power, and the glory forever." Go out into the world in peace to share the love of Jesus Christ. Go out to listen to people's hearts so that you might help heal the world on behalf of the Lord and Savior Jesus. Go out knowing that you are loved children of God. And go out knowing that God's love, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the community that draws us together, and that is the Holy Spirit, goes with you each and every day forevermore. Amen and amen.